the Public News Service Daily Newscast for Monday, December the 18th, 2017. I'm Mike Clifford. Senator John McCain heads home to Arizona ahead of a key vote in D.C. on the GOP tax plan. Also on the rundown, shades of gray. North Carolina's death row ages while sentences decline. And a new plan to safeguard wildlife species before they are at risk. Now our top story, the Washington Post reports Senator John McCain left the nation's capital Sunday to spend Christmas in Arizona as he battles brain cancer. That gives the GOP one less vote as it's expected to attempt to push through that tax bill along party lines this week. The Post quotes President Trump as saying, "I understand he'll come if we ever needed his help," which hopefully we won't. Meantime, Andrea Sears has been talking with environmental groups who say the final tax bill agreed to last week by the House and Senate Reconciliation Committee will be a disaster for the environment.
They see some good news since tax incentives for electric cars and wind power eliminated in the House bill are back in. But the Senate's provision opening up the Arctic National Wildlife Refuge to oil drilling is there too. And Kieran Kennedy with the Sierra Club says eliminating $1 trillion or more of revenue over 10 years will have a huge impact on government agencies like the EPA and Interior Department.
They're going to be basically facing massive cuts in their budgets to help pay for the tax cuts that'll go towards the richest 1% and the top 1% corporations in the country.
Republicans contend that environmental regulations have hindered economic development and that selling oil leases in the Arctic National Wildlife Refuge could raise about $1 billion in revenue to offset some of the tax cuts.
USA Today reports a major power outage at the Atlanta International Airport, grounding all of the hub's outgoing flights and halting incoming traffic for tens of thousands by 7:30 last night. Officials said they had restored power to Concourse F. USA Today notes the disruption coming just 8 days before Christmas promises to wreak havoc on one of the busiest travel weeks of the year. Advocates for women say the wave of high-profile sexual abuse allegations is helping survivors in Ohio find their voices. But Mary Sherman asks, who can they trust?
In a survey of Cuyahoga County residents, most respondents said if they needed assistance after a sexual assault, they would turn to a doctor, nurse, teacher, or caseworker. Sandra Miller of the Cleveland Rape Crisis Center says the findings underscore the importance of ensuring people in those roles know how to respond to a survivor immediately following such a disclosure.
What can I do to let these individuals know I'm a safe person to talk about this? How can I be trained and how can I have the skills to respond compassionately and in a way that helps survivors overcome trauma as opposed to re-traumatizing them?
Miller says people in leadership positions should also provide training and resources for staff members about the definitions of sexual assault and rape, the impacts of trauma, and how to provide ongoing support.
There are crisis centers and recovery service organizations throughout Ohio that Miller says will provide support no matter how long ago someone experienced a sexual assault or a rape. It is a lame duck session at the New Jersey legislature. Among the items on the agenda, a bill that would offer a subsidy for the state's nuclear power industry. Evelyn Liebman is the director of advocacy for AARP New Jersey.
We're concerned that any new tax on top of what are already very high electric bills in New Jersey will really be a serious problem for residents, particularly those who are living on fixed incomes.
The Coalition Against Nuclear Taxes represents a number of groups opposed to the legislation. They say subsidies for nuclear corporations in Illinois resulted in ratepayers footing the bill for $2.3 billion over the next 10 years. A spokesperson for PSEG said with gas prices low, current market conditions are prompting nuclear power generation to lose money. And North Carolina's death row is aging, with almost half of its inmates now 50 years or older.
Executive Director of the Center for Death Penalty Litigation, Gretchen Engel, says the older inmate population presents a quandary for the justice system.
Death row is on its way to becoming a memory care unit. We have an older and older and more infirm population on death row.
Engel says many of the men and women serving time on death row aren't likely to ever face execution. And at the time of many of their trials, the law forced prosecutors to go after the death penalty in almost every first-degree murder case, even when they believed the circumstances called for mercy or there were questions of innocence. This is Stephanie Carson reporting.
And finally, word from Ros Brown that legislation with a proactive approach to conservation has been introduced in Congress, attempting to protect wildlife species before they end up on the endangered species list.
The Recovering America's Wildlife Act would direct money collected from oil and gas development to states' wildlife management plans. Deputy Director of the New Mexico Wildlife Federation, Todd Leahy, says if the state doesn't find a better way to save at-risk species, it could mean a hit to New Mexico's tourism industry. He believes everyone has an improved outdoor experience when they see wildlife up close.
And you're out on a hike and you see elk. It just adds something to the hike. It makes that hike a little bit more special.
The Recovering America's Wildlife Act is co-sponsored by Republican Representative Jeff Fortenberry of Nebraska and Democrat Debbie Dingell of Michigan. That's our news for now. I'm Mike Clifford for Public News Service, member and listener supported, and online at publicnewsservice.org.